3-7.
It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live, the sort of post-Porcupine Freedom Festival exhausted Sunday edition.
The post-apocalyptic pork fest.
I'd seen post-apocalyptic on the way here. There was some flooding. I thought, wow, after a week of pork fest, God got a little mad and said, time to wipe out the species.
I haven't seen the flooding you're talking about.
There was a flash flooding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody cares about that in Radio Land.
That's right.
855 453. It's Mark here with you.
And Brian.
And Stephanie.
So we could sit here and recap the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but I feel like it was capped plenty. If you want to hear about the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you can listen to the last 7 days' worth of programming available to you free at freetalklive.com. And if they're not there on the front page, which they should be at this moment, but you may be hearing me delayed in some way or another, you can always go to archives.freetalklive.com. At archives.freetalklive.com, we have archives going back for years, more than half a decade there, and then to some extent even farther than that. So go check it out. Whatever you want to get, you can get it for free at archives.freetalklive.com. We do that for you because we want to provide you with the audio content that you want without charging you for it like all these other talk show hosts do. It's archives.freetalklive.com. So I want to jump straight into material here, and I got this from Lawyers.com. Now, I don't expect to go to a site called Lawyers.com and hear much truth, but let's just assume for a second here that we're hearing some. The title of this is States Abolishing the Death Penalty at a Record Pace. Now, I don't know exactly what they mean by a record pace. I mean, wasn't the death penalty abolished in like 1968 or something like that, across the board? I mean, how much more of a record?
Texas still has it, right?
Oh, lots of states have the death penalty.
Yeah, okay.
What I'm saying is that it was all, the Supreme Court stopped it in like 68 and then brought it back in like 70.
Right.
Very strange sort of move. And it, by the way, that's one of the things that makes me sort of wonder how anyone can have faith in the system that we have here. I mean, how can the greatest legal minds in the country make a decision 1 year, and then 2 years later, I think it's even fewer than that, like 18 months, let's call it 20.
Because it's not based on any kind of principle or philosophical understanding. It's just
arbitrary.
Yeah, you said it.
That's what it is. So either the death penalty was right or wrong in 68, or it was right or wrong in 70, and when they brought it back, or whenever it was, and, somehow or another, justice was served or it wasn't. And, so what? You're going to live with it. You're going to pay for it because that's what we tell you to do, citizen.
Yeah, it brings up the idea of, ethics being universal or, ideas of right and wrong being universal. Are they or aren't they? Is something wrong if in the time and place that it happens, some panel of people says it's wrong? Or is it wrong because it's wrong,
Indeed. So, coming from lawyers.com, the days of putting convicted criminals to death in the United States could be on the wane. 6 states have gotten rid of capital punishment in the last 6 years, while more could be on the way. Most recently, Maryland's Governor Martin O'Malley last week signed a law abolishing the death penalty in the state. By the way, the date on this is May the 9th, 2013. I don't think that this necessarily has to be particularly fresh news, because it wasn't covered anywhere else in the media.
Yeah.
You didn't hear
it
on talk radio anyplace else. So if I bring this to you 3 weeks late, it's still the first you've heard of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can't expect the Republican or Democrat talkers to talk about this one. It says here, while in Delaware's House of Representatives considered, but put aside for now, a bill that would do the same after it passed by the state Senate. Since 2007, by the way, it's coming up here in New Hampshire here shortly, New Hampshire has one person on death row. That person is on death row for killing a police officer. The only way you can get the death penalty in the state of New Hampshire is to kill a police officer. Why? Why, do you ask, can you get the death penalty in New Hampshire for killing a police officer, but not a baby, a nun, a woman, a man, or any other person, or, a radio talk show host, or whatever it is that you do for a living?
Well, Mark, it's because there's two classes of people.
That's what it is. They are morally superior to you. Somehow, it is a greater crime to kill a cop than it is to kill you.
They also get a parade and stuff like that.
Yeah. If it was a deterrent, by the way, I mean, you know, why wouldn't we make it a death penalty to do everything if it was an effective deterrent? Anyway, let's go on here. Since 2007, New York, New Jersey, New Mexico, Illinois, Connecticut have all decided to, by the way, those are all blue states that voted for Obama, no longer impose death sentences. Previously, no state had abolished capital punishment since 1984. In total, 18 states plus D.C. currently have no death penalty. So there you are, going on two-fifths of the nation. Two quintiles? Cruel and unusual, the modern era of capital punishment began in 1976 after a four-year moratorium. Here I am talking about 2 years, I guess it's four, on executions following the 72 Supreme Court decision, Furman versus Georgia. The court ruled that the way capital punishment was imposed was in violation of the Eighth Amendment's ban on cruel and unusual punishment due to its inconsistency, among other reasons. Well, let's talk about its inconsistency now. I mean, let's talk about races and
indeed
how they're executed.
Yeah, or even why, okay, you can't kill, capital punishment's going away, and yet in our military prisons, people are getting essentially killed almost all the time. I'm shocked. Like, or in any case, I guess the point I'm making is that, like, if you can't kill someone for capital punishment, what reason can you kill someone for? I shouldn't have said that about the military prisons, I'm sorry. But I just mean in general, like, well, when does it become okay to drone an American? When does it become okay to drone anybody? When you, if you can't kill somebody for doing a crime here,
well, you're saying that it's, you know, I think that the difference would be in most people's minds that you know, the people that are dying in wars around the world, that's war and war's hell. Sorry about that.
Right, but didn't they murder? And aren't they murder? Isn't capital punishment a punishment for murder here usually?
Yes, that's the case.
So, I guess I it doesn't seem to gel with me.
You murder in the name of the government, it's not murder. You know, it's fine. It's heroic.
Right.
I'm shaking my head. You can't see it on the radio, but...
After the ruling, 37 states passed new death penalty laws to comply with the court's reasoning. Since then, the court has ruled that the executions of mentally retarded individuals, as well as defendants who committed a crime under the age of 18, are unconstitutional. In the meantime, there appears to be a growing national sentiment against capital punishment. In spite of the heinous nature of crimes he allegedly committed, only 24.5% of respondents in a recent Lawyers.com poll said they felt accused Boston Marathoner, this is the Jokor Tsarnaev fella, should be executed if convicted. On the legislative level, in addition to the Delaware bill, there are repeal efforts underway in Colorado, Kansas, Montana, Oregon, Washington, and a handful of other states, New Hampshire among them. And, you know, I find that very interesting. I hadn't heard about that statistic. 24.5%, basically a quarter of people polled, believe that Tsarnaev should get the death penalty. That means 75% do not believe that. It's fascinating. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah,
I'm actually impressed.
Based on the way
that
people are dancing in the streets after he was captured.
I do think that the sentiments are turning against the death penalty, but that might be just anecdotal. You know, at one point I was a death penalty supporter. I believed, for whatever reason, that... Basically, well, I believe that you took out if you're going to kill a rabid dog, you know, you might as well kill a rabid individual. And I don't really stand against that that sentiment today. However, it is fiscally irresponsible to do so because it costs like 20 times as much to execute somebody as it does to keep them in life in prison. Bologna sandwiches are significantly less costly than trials, and so, you know, that's one big issue. And
the state messes up.
Yeah.
They don't always...
Not just the state, individuals. When people are perfect, then I think that the death penalty is okay. When you know that you know. But if you basically say, okay, we'll only give the death penalty to people that confess, then A, you have to look at the fact that some people confess to crimes that they didn't commit,
mm-hmm.
and it happens. And B, you have to realize that you're going to make it a disincentive to people to confess to a crime.
Yeah. Know?
If that's the only way you can get the death penalty, nobody's going to confess. Convict me.
Yeah,
spend more money.
Better 10 guilty people go free than one person get affected by the law, like get killed.
Well, I'm not even talking about people going free. I'm talking about people spending life in prison, which is a terrible crime that some might argue is worse than death penalty. 855 453 Free Talk Live. Your thoughts on the death penalty that states getting rid of it in a record pace. 855 450 free.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-711-5269. 1-800-711-5269. That's 1-800-711-5269. 1-800-711-5269.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American, covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237 and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bomb-proof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-B-U-N-K-E-R or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-453. You can give us a call and talk about whatever you want to talk about here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. That's how we run Free Talk Live.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll that way. Indeed. It's Mark with you.
And Brian.
And Stephanie.
855-450-FREE. As I said, we just got back from the Porcupine Freedom Festival put on by the Free State Project, and you can go hear about all about the Porcupine Freedom Festival if you want to listen to the last 7 days worth of shows at freetalklive.com. It's there for free for your download. However, I do want to tell you about the Free State Project. The Free State Project is an idea to move 20,000 liberty-loving individuals to the state of New Hampshire in order to, you know, exert some kind of pressure on the culture as a whole in order to make government's maximum role the protection of life, liberty, and property. And if you think that's a good idea, go to freestateproject.org and get signed up. It's freestateproject.org. Let's go, guys. Let's go straight to the phones here. We got Jerry calling in from Nashville, Tennessee on WGNZ. Jerry, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
It's Knoxville, Tennessee, by the way.
Oh, it's Knoxville? Okay. I said Nashville.
One of you guys made a statement a few minutes ago. I don't understand it all.
Okay.
Why does it cost 20 times as much to execute a prisoner than it does to keep him in prison for life?
Yeah,
$1 million upkeep there.
Yep, it does cost a lot of money to keep people in prison, and the death row inmates cost more to keep than regular inmates, as you can imagine. You got to roll stuff.
Backlog.
No, because guards have to bring them their food, so you have it's more labor intensive. There's personnel costs.
I wonder how many people die of old age on death row.
Probably quite a few.
You don't live as long in prison for one.
Yeah, and it's probably
healthcare
not.
Healthcare is not that great.
One's been health as well.
I was thinking that a lethal injection is a lot cheaper than. In Tennessee, the Department of Corrections is allowed $30,000 a year per inmate.
Okay.
If you live 40 years after you got incarcerated, you're looking at, $1.2 million?
Yep. Yeah, the thing is, the difference here is that executions, here from an AP article in March 8th, 2009, says a former California jurist, Donald Martin, it's 10 times more expensive to kill them than to just keep them alive, though most Americans believe the opposite. The hanging judge of Martin, Orange County, says he had sent 9 people to death row. Deep in retirement, he's lost faith in the eye for an eye and now speaks against it. What changed in his mind is set the ultimate punishment. Apparently it was the cost. And so, you know, it costs a lot more to have trials and those kind of things. I mean, look what's going on with Bradley Manning. It's going to be a 12-week trial to convict that guy. And that's a lot of money. And that money comes from somewhere. I know that a bullet doesn't cost much money, but courtrooms do, and executions, people get mandatory appeals and all that stuff, and that's why it costs more. So thanks for the call, Jerry.
You got a point. I forgot about that.
Thank you, sir.
What we need is to get the kinks out of our jurisprudence system then.
But that doesn't address the secondary concern that I have, which is that humans are flawed. And flawed humans are going to make mistakes, and it's a terrible thing to execute an innocent person. And the question I would have to ask you, if you support the death penalty, is how many innocent people are you willing to kill in order to kill 10 guilty people? And it's a question you have to ask yourself, because there are innocent people on death row right now.
Upwards of 40% of the people in the prison system are innocent.
Could be.
Yeah, I believe that.
Could be. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Appreciate it. 855-450-FREE. I don't know. I was in prison for 8 years. 40% seems high to me, but I do think that if we got rid of the war on drugs, that you would see a precipitous drop in the amount of, obviously, fewer things would be criminalized, so there would be fewer criminals. But also, people wouldn't commit some of the more heinous crimes that they commit in order to get the drugs. I do think that some people commit crimes because they're on drugs, and I'm not going to say that that's okay. It's certainly not okay, and I think they should be held in account for it. But I think a lot more people do a lot worse things in order to get drugs.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. You were in jail for 9 years.
Yep.
If you told your story to the average person, who would have expected that years later you'd get out of there and you'd be spreading the message of liberty in many real senses, saving the world.
Well, I mean,
you know what I mean, and
you can
so,
at least say that I am, you know, I'm making my way, right?
Right. But your case could have been, I think, even years ago, especially, would have been tried probably for capital punishment.
It could have. It would have been a miscarriage of justice in order.
It would have. And this is my point: is that how can anybody know the value of another person's life?
And
you can't.
It's kind of interesting. One thing that happens in somebody's life makes them worth killing. It's because, you know, if you hear one thing about a person, right, like they've done one thing,
right,
that's what you hear about in the news, and it's bad. So then they're that person's bad in your mind. Well, they had a whole life before that, and they'd have a whole life after that. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't get some kind of punishment. I don't know exactly what that should be.
Sure.
But I'm pretty sure that a lot of people can, I mean, well, murderers are the least likely to reoffend. I can tell you that, statistically.
You know, this whole discussion, I think the point hasn't come up yet that with the death penalty or capital punishment, I think that's just a euphemism, but with killing people, basically, who've been convicted of crimes, it doesn't do anything to restitute the victim. And that's what I care about the most. I mean, this is absolutely about punishment, about retribution, and, you know, it's a very final kind of punishment, but it's very vengeful, you know, and I care more about having some kind of attempt at restitution for the victim. I know there's most of these crimes, there's nothing you could realistically do to ever make up for what was done to the person. I get that, but at least some attempt could be made, and killing the person does zero towards that goal.
I think if people could be paid, you know, to do real wages, paid real wages in prison, and those wages could be sent essentially to the victims, and I'd be interested in seeing something like that. Let's talk to Dr. Jones, calling from Texas. Dr. Jones, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon. A quick point. Capital punishment is not a euphemism. It literally means cut off one's head. Capita is on the head.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you.
All right.
Great. I'm calling about, I heard a guy call in maybe a week ago about heroin and coming to the Free State Project and being a heroin user, et cetera.
You
had a discussion about this. And the reason I called is because that was part of my dissertation research. I wrote on the drug war, and part of my analysis was on drug addiction theory and what the state says. So
I got a lot of emails and response from this particular caller in his feelings on his heroin use. Go ahead.
Well, heroin is probably one of the more benign drugs that you can imagine. And moreover, even I had a graph of that from 1970 to the mid-1990s, the real price of heroin for daily use was something like 25 cents without the drug war era.
Oh, so it would cost 25 cents. Hold the line, if you would, Dr. Jones.
I'm curious to hear more about this.
I do want to hear more about it. Yes, I bet you are, Dr. Murphy. 855-450-FREE, Free Talk Live, your thoughts on capital punishment, heroin use, 855-450-FREE.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there'll really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you'll be glad you ordered food. Until June 30th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Live 855-450-FREE. You can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. We have been discussing an article here where I have it's talking about the states have been abolishing the death penalty at a record pace. I think it's a very interesting article. And then Dr. Jones called in from Texas, wanted to talk about heroin and some of the effects, and I'm very interested in what he's got to say. But first, Freedom Fest is the biggest liberty-oriented event of the year. This year it includes luminaries like John Stossel, Grover Norquist, Rand Paul, Steve Forbes, Art Laufer, and many, many more. If you haven't heard, the venue has been changed. Freedom Fest will be held July 10th through the 13th. We're talking about less than a month here. To get your tickets, it'll be at Planet Hollywood on the Strip in Las Vegas. There's nothing like Freedom Fest, nothing like Vegas. Get your tickets now. I'll be there representing Free Talk Live. And as I understand, tickets and hotel rooms are going fast. It's an event you do not want to miss. FreedomFest.com. Get registered now. Again, FreedomFest.com. It's Mark with you.
And Brian.
And Stephanie.
855-450-FREE. Let's go to back to Dr. Jones calling from Texas. Dr. Jones, you were saying you had done your dissertation on heroin and its effects on people, and that apparently what it takes to be addicted to heroin is about 25 cents worth of heroin a day if it wasn't for the drug war.
Yeah, the drug war adds about a 9,000% tariff, or just something ridiculous. But
right.
the more important thing is that it's extremely benign. That is, you don't get brain damage, you don't get lung damage, you don't get cirrhosis of the liver, you don't have any problems. Remember, the very first drug laws in the United States, the very first ones were in San Francisco targeting opium dens, mainly Chinese immigrants smoking opium, on the threat that white women would go into the dens, either have sex with the men or go on prostitution. So
yeah,
it's all overtly racist from the start. But the main thing we have to recognize is it wasn't from the ill health effects. No one was complaining thinking, oh, my God, people are committing crimes or running around the street crazy. It's nothing. It's heroin. People use heroin like most people use marijuana. You just take heroin and you go fall asleep, or you just hang out with your friends and you just have a nice time and you go to bed. It's not like it does anything other than make you tired. Now, most
and gets you quite addicted.
Well, yeah. No. The question is, what is addiction? Addiction is nothing more than an urge to have something. It's not like you die without heroin. You can die without alcohol or without benzodiazepines. That is, you can have a stroke, fall down, bust your head and die. You will not unless you mix the heroin with alcohol. People have heart attacks from that. But the addiction is a misnomer, because the question is, what people like it. If you don't have it, the claim of withdrawal is completely tied to the individual, and there's a nocebo effect. So there's something called the negative expectation is what drives the person's withdrawal. Because
Are you saying that opioid withdrawal symptoms are just a nocebo effect? They're not actually physiological, because that's not my understanding of it.
Yeah. So I'll explain it. So I had knee surgery when I was a teenager, and of course they gave me opiates, and right away to knock me out, I felt sick to my stomach. I felt very ill. If you read the literature on almost every study of people using opiates or heroin, either in the prison system or people volunteering or people hospitals, well over 95% say they found heroin to be extremely repulsive, horrible experience. They would never use it. So by itself, self-selection, most people don't even want to use it a second time, much less a third time. The people who do use it, typically they do it for pain. They also do it because it makes them feel calm or mellow, what have you. But the negative effect, i.e. sweating or feeling jittery or all that, this is largely a function of their own head. That if when people are told in the hospital, you're going to take this for pain. My stepfather had a surgery for his shoulder. They said, if your shoulder hurts, take this. They said, but you only need it for pain. He took half of one. He didn't like it. But most people, they take things when they have pain under, quote-unquote, doctor's care, following the instructions, and they just quit using it when they don't have any pain anymore. Kurt Cobain, famously, he had chronic stomach pain. He took heroin all the time to deal with the pain. So there's just
I don't dispute the idea that people might use it for self-medicating, you know, for whether it be physical or maybe even emotional pain. But, I mean, I'd like to hear from some maybe former heroin users and see if they think that the withdrawal symptoms
are basically
in their head.
You have a problem. You have a problem there. Anyone who says, I took heroin and I had withdrawal effects, I'm sorry, but the question is, what generated the withdrawal effects? It wasn't physiological. It's not the heroin itself, by definition, because that would be everyone. We don't say gravity works differently in China than it does in the United States. We don't say gravity affects you differently.
Well, okay, hold on one sec. There's a physiological basis for it, though. I mean, opiates bind to opiate receptors. You have receptors in your body that recognize these drugs. And when you build up a tolerance, those receptors get the levels of them get changed, and so the drug has had a long term effect on your body, and it takes a while to come back to baseline. So
no, that's incorrect, because the claim is, see, I'm guessing you went on a roller coaster, and you got a high out of being on the roller coaster. And that affects your endorphins in your brain. We don't say, oh, my God, now I have roller coaster withdrawal because I really want to ride it again, or I haven't done it for a long time. And if I go on three times, I have to go four times the next time I go to the amusement park. No, you don't, because if people reach a level and your body regulates
sometimes people do get sort of, you know, addiction-like symptoms to thrilling activities or to porn or to whatever, you know,
they
need more and more to feel the same way.
No, but they don't die without it. So since they don't die without it.
But does that mean...
They don't have any physical pain either. You don't have physical pain if you don't have heroin.
Isn't this a false dichotomy, though, between... Hold on a sec. Isn't this a false dichotomy between either you die if you don't have it, or there's no real withdrawal symptoms, it's all in your head? I mean... Couldn't there be some withdrawal symptoms?
What is withdrawal? What does it mean?
I would say it's some kind of negative effect besides just wishing you had stuff.
In the literature, there's no definition of withdrawal. that is anything other than the person who said they wanted to use a drug didn't feel good. That's it. That's it. It's not, you know, the heart palpitations. It's not the kidneys breakdown. There's nothing that you can say is, aha, that's withdrawal. It's all self-defined, all self-selection. So, again, the vast majority of people who use heroin, much less cigarettes, much less cocaine or marijuana, don't have any withdrawal symptoms. So the question is, addiction is...
Wait a minute. Again, so if somebody's addicted, if somebody smokes, is a regular cigarette smoker...
I'm pretty sure there's a cigarette withdrawal. Like, I've gone through this, and I'm pretty sure there is.
Yeah. Right. What happens, remember, when people smoke American cigarettes, they're getting tar, and they're getting formaldehyde. They're getting a lot of things that the body, when they quit smoking, has a chance then to start to expel those extreme toxins. And, of course, at the same time, you're not producing the same level of adrenaline, typically, that you're getting from the nicotine. But the claim of, oh, my God, it's withdrawal, and now what? Well, wait a few days. Sleep a little bit. It'll wear off. So, the issue with heroin is...
Sounds like it's pretty easy to say when you're not actually going through that process.
I think it's good advice. I mean, drink lots of water, get some sunlight.
Yes. Exactly.
See, I've heard the phrase that after like 3 days, after you stop taking a drug or whatever, after 3 days, it's all mental. Now, that's something I've heard. I don't, you know, I didn't read that.
Does sensation pass through your mind?
Well, by definition, yes.
Yeah, but if somebody's leg is cut off, are you going to say, oh, that pain is all in your mind?
No. Right. Again, that's not the same as addiction. The point, what most people have, we call addicts, they have extreme mineral deficiencies, they have extreme fatigue, they haven't slept well enough, and they have the nutritional deficits. And when we correct that, they don't have the urges to, quote-unquote, take the drug. And most people do these drugs just for pleasure. Like, that person I'm calling about called in and said he likes to do heroin, I think, once a week or on the weekends or something, and he did it for pleasure. And the issue he was bringing up was, okay, if I'm going to come to the Free State Project, aren't
Dr.
I going
Jones,
to be a welcome addition? Yes, sir.
I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 855-453. Free Talk Live.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibes. In year 2523, there are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. The scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibes. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from Mother's ingenuity. The scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell? Yes? Okay. Can you sell the intangible? If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
The location, Denver Convention Center. Timeline, June 27th through 29th, 2013. The event, the Doomsday Expo. Our world and nation are changing. It's time for an educational experience that will enlighten you and the entire family at the Doomsday Expo, June 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Denver Convention Center. Check out the latest survival products, learn valuable survival techniques, meet other preppers, and meet guest speakers, including Dr. Joel Wallach, Scott Hunt, Jay Blevins, and more. Boost your knowledge with
seminars on natural disaster preparedness, long-term prepping, survival gardens, self-defense, off-grid living, and financial planning. Ladies will get a valuable female perspective on family defense and preparedness. There's even a casting call for Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, and everyone will enjoy the first dry food cook-off. Tickets are just $14 for all 3 days and a Saturday evening concert. Mark your calendars for June 27th through 29th and get all the details at doomsdayexpo.com. Doomsdayexpo.com. Preparation starts here.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. You can give us a call and talk about whatever you want to talk about here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. It's Mark with you.
And Brian.
And Stephanie.
So, in that last segment, we were sort of talking about, this fellow called in, doctor from Texas, claimed that there were no effects of essentially heroin withdrawals. I mean, you know, heroin withdrawals were all mental and fascinating.
I would be curious, you know, if there are any people who have had experience stopping using heroin and what their experience is like. Maybe Michael W. Dean will call in. He's a former heroin user.
You know, the only thing I can have been addicted to is nicotine. And I smoked cigars for many years, and I inhaled those cigars as though they were cigarettes. And I smoked cigarettes at some points in the past, and basically because I couldn't eat cigars, or I couldn't smoke them where I was, like in a bar. If you're, you know, drinking, you can't really smoke a big old cheap cigar. Nobody wants to smell that crap. And I felt like my addiction was very real, that the withdrawals were very real and very similar to other people's withdrawals.
And you weren't all colluding about
right.
what did you feel like or right?
Right. Like that, to me, what indicates that it is real is that you can sort of quantify it and compare it to others.
Yeah.
You know, like if one person's withdrawal is blue horns that come out of their head, I suppose you could quantify it, but and another person's withdrawal is they get, imaginary spiders running all over them. Like you've got...
That's more vague, yeah.
Right. It's like, what?
Right. But with opiate withdrawal, as far as I understand, you know, people experience this sensation that's very specific. It's only with opiates, like heroin, and it's the sensation of bugs crawling on your skin. It's called formication, not fornication, formication, because form means ants or something in Latin, like formic acid. But anyway, so people experience this, and it's pretty specific for, you know, opioid withdrawal. So, I mean, you know, nobody else experiences that, and a whole group of people do. So, you know, isn't that something that kind of indicates that it might be physiological? Or are they all just imagining it?
Another thing that I have that's kind of like an addiction is I have this kind of addiction to too much mastication. I didn't say masturbation. I said mastication.
I knew what you said.
I'm trying to throw a little joke in there on your vacation. Yeah. Doing my best. You know, this whole radio talk and segues and stuff. Anyway, Axia 30 here is a weight loss program, a pill that I've been taking. It's not even a program. It's a pill. I've been taking once a day, Axia 30, for going on 7 weeks now. The last time I checked, I had lost 5 pounds, but I've been at Pork Fest the whole time. If I haven't gained back some weight at Pork Fest, I just don't know. But I haven't changed my lifestyle in any way,
shape, or form. Have you been taking this drug while you're at Pork Fest?
Sometimes is okay. The answer to that. I'm better. Like, basically, my wife is the pill pusher in the house. You know, take your pills today kind of gal. And so I haven't been great in taking the pills during the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And I've probably been eating worse than the other 51 weeks out of the year. However, I have been successful up to that point, losing weight simply by taking Axia 30 and doing nothing different. If you want to try to lose some weight the same way I did, which is, well, just take a pill once a day, try Axia 30, please. It's worked for me. It's really amazed me that it worked for me. There's a full 3-month money-back guarantee. Chamonix, who uses all-natural ingredients, has such faith in their product. They give a full 3-month money-back guarantee. If you don't lose weight, you get your money back. Also, they're giving away a free month of Axia 30 absolutely free with your order. What else do you need? You get a free month and a 3-month money-back guarantee. Call them now at 800-543-6613. It's 800-543-6613 for Axia 30, 800-543-6613. It's worked for me. So, Stephanie, do you have anything more to say on the death penalty, or do you want to move on to some other issue?
I said the most important point to me, which was the point about restorative justice versus punitive justice.
Well, that's a great point. Many times there was the victim is always who people who support the death penalty bring up, though. What if the victim wants restorative justice in the sense of, you know, an eye for an eye? There was a gal.
I would say that doesn't restore them, though. I mean, that's.
Well, let me tell you
the story.
They
may have
first.
A desire to punish, right?
Right.
Or to get revenge, right?
They are the victim. Their desires would seem very relevant.
The system we have right now doesn't consult them.
Tell your story.
go tell your story.
Stories are important in the job we do.
Go on.
There's a gal in Iran who had some weirdo that wanted to marry her throw acid in her face because she turned down his,
His advances.
She was blinded by this, as well as being turned rather ugly. And she didn't want him to pay. She didn't want him to be in jail. She wanted him to have acid clinically dropped by a doctor into his eyes so that he was blinded, among other things that would be done to him. And, you know, it's hard for me in this particular instance to shed great big tears over this guy's eyesight, right? Like, I don't think that this is going to be the best way for, you know, the world to be restored. But, you know, I feel this guy did, you know, a terrible, petty thing in throwing this acid in this woman's face.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of things to come to mind there. One, what doctor could ethically do that?
One in Iran.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any physicians.
Some doctor might do this, okay?
I mean, there's even, like, in a lot of states when they have lethal injection, they have to get a physician to sign off on it,
mm-hmm.
but they won't perform the lethal injection because it's against the Hippocratic Oath.
Oh, interesting, okay.
So it's, like, often these untrained kind of medical techs that are, like, stabbing around to find people's veins, as I understand, it's pretty brutal, you know, that doesn't always go well.
Probably,
you know,
not as bad as the lethal injection part, but okay.
Well, but it doesn't always work the first time, so it's like person's, you know, half dead or they're screaming because there's potassium in their veins or whatever. So, you know, I mean, it's not always like a beautiful process. It's never a beautiful process.
Sure.
Not easy.
I don't think anybody's out there that supports the death penalty that feels bad about that. Go ahead.
Okay, but okay, in the U.S., in the system that we have here, I can't really think of many instances in which the victim is consulted and even asked what they want. Like, the whole point of the justice system, so-called justice system in the U.S., or the legal system, is that the state takes on all the responsibility. Like, when you commit a crime, it's a crime against the state, and the state is the party that has been harmed, and the state has to be made better. It's not the actual victim. So
I concur with your point completely. You make a great point here, which is that if the victim wants a person put to death, it is by happenstance that their desire
to get their wish
manages to somehow line up with whatever the penalty is for the crime. However, if we were to do some system where we ask the victim, how would you like to be made whole? One of the ways that a victim of murder or, you know, some terrible crime is going to quickly say, within the first week that this happens in the United States, somebody will say, oh yeah, well I want his testicles cut off, or I want him put to death, or I want his eyes bored out with hot pokers. I mean, this is going to happen that first week. So,
right.
If that happens.
Well, in some crimes, maybe they have the opportunity to do that on the spot. You know, like if they witness a crime happening, if somebody, you know, kills their family member in front of them or something like that, you know, potentially they could administer the death penalty themselves right then and there.
On the flip side,
I'm still against that.
Yeah, on the flip side, I'm a little concerned, and I find myself shocked to think this, but I'm a little concerned about leaving justice in the hands of the individual. Only, or what restitution could be, only because I think of like the Mennonites or the Amish, and they'll kill children. They'll let somebody who kills children go.
Right. There was an incident relatively recently where I believe a shooter went into a Mennonite school and shot up the place, and you know they prayed for his immortal soul.
Yeah, and
amazing people.
Yeah, they pressed no charges. They forgave him. They straight up forgave him, you know, with their heavenly beliefs and whichever. So that's as high a law as they know. And so
I have to say, I'm not into the whole, you know, just forgiveness thing.
Yeah,
I
think I'm not either. But if we just left it up to the individuals, that guy would have walked to do it again.
I'm often reminded of the Healing Our World by Mary Ruart, where they sort of ran these computer models where they did all kinds of things. You know, like basically they used the prisoner's dilemma. If you don't know what it is, look it up. And essentially, they played the game of the prisoner's dilemma, and the best model was tit for tat. You were kind to everybody until they did something bad to you, and then you hit them hard one time, and you know, in punishment, and then you went back to playing the game nice again. So people were punished for a bad action every time. It was how this, you know, the computer models worked the best.
Yeah, but life is not a computer
model. Indeed, it's not.
I mean, why would somebody, if you hit somebody, they're going to resent it, and then how are you going to go back to playing nice after that?
Physically, these are computers.
Right.
They were playing the prisoner's dilemma. They had one set of systems going back and forth, so they would basically lie as turned Confederate or whatever.
Well, I would say a victim who wants to punish has a lot of pain, and what they need is help for that pain. And punishing the perpetrator isn't going to necessarily heal them.
855-453. Free Talk Live, what are your thoughts?
Online Bitcoin Poker at dealswithclubs.eu. That's right. Play poker online with Bitcoin, the digital cryptocurrency. Anonymous accounts, optional email, and no banking. Only Bitcoin deposits and withdrawals at dealswithclubs.eu. Great player rewards, free rolls, and other promotions. For more information, visit us online at dealswithclubs.eu. No deals for harm. The making is advertising.
I want to introduce you to a hero of mine. His name is Shahan Q. He sells little magnetic balls that you can use to make sculptures, shapes, or just fiddle with while you're on the phone. There used to be several companies that sold similar products. Now ZenMagnets.com stands nearly alone. The U.S. government has threatened and sued everyone else out of business because the feds think the magnets, which are less dangerous than balloons, are too dangerous. Support a hero and get a great product. Go to ZenMagnets.com. That's ZenMagnets.com.
It's time to prepare for an uncertain future at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival, June 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Valair Ballroom in Des Moines. Tickets are only $6 per day or $12 for a three-day pass. Speakers include Jackie Clay of Backwoods Home Magazine, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy of Doom and Bloom, and Jack Spearco of the Survival Podcast. There's 100 free conceal and handgun classes each day, and you'll gain valuable knowledge as you learn how to prepare with beekeeping, soap making, canning supplies, cooking with solar, gold and silver, seed banks, and water purification. There's even a free apple seed shoot for the kids. Check out the Youngevity booth and the health product line with pharmacist Keith Abel. Speaking about natural healthy living, the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival, June 28th, 29th, and 30th in Des Moines, Iowa. Presented by My Patriot Supply and sponsored by Genesis Communications Network. Visit valairballroom.com for tickets and find us on Facebook at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival.